Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
From a Texans perspective, I like that all these really good defensive-minded coaches are fired.
Yeah.
Daniel asked, do you think Vrabel getting calls from the Lions? Why do you think he's getting calls from the Lions and Colts? He led a bad Texans defense this year. He's one of those guys that seems to have a really good reputation around the league. And if I'm the Texans, I'm praying he gets one of those jobs. Because look at the coaches you could go get to be your defensive coordinator. Jack Del Rio, John Fox,
yeah.
Chuck Pagano. And those would all be huge upgrades on the defensive side of the ball.
I have no idea what the Rockets will look like with James Harden because we haven't seen them in so long. I mean,
yeah, that's one thing that's lost is how durable this guy's been.
Other than that game five of the Spurs series, I don't know what the Rockets look like without James Harden on the floor. So, I mean, if you tell me it's Chris Paul and that's all you got out there that's worth it, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, are they beating the Warriors? I would say almost assuredly no.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. That's just some of what we talked about. Been very sportsy today, as you might imagine. And including kept Lance line a little longer than we should have. But that's okay, because we like Lance. Always adds to the show. Welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners as we spread out over the city. And I guess now it's a possibility of snow tonight again and ice.
Yeah.
So if you're in a place where snow or ice could affect you, be careful.
Be safe out there, folks.
That's right. Don't be afraid, but be safe.
Yeah. Or be afraid, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very afraid.
But there was a little bit. I went on my balcony about 11 this morning, and there was, like, frozen rain on my balcony, like little ice pellets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that was all we would get. But now, apparently, the forecast may have changed. So.
Things change, Fred.
Yeah.
People change.
Yeah, I've changed a lot myself, as a matter of fact.
If it snows, I'm going to be pissed, though. That's one thing that'll never change.
Our buddy Eric says Sports Talk Radio, he's up, I guess he's in Denver, saying Elway was salivating about the possibility of getting O'Brien. Of all the combinations out there that I can assure you would never work, those two could never work together.
No.
And that for one of the reasons that, you know, Lance was talking about with Jeff Fisher and O'Brien. There's just certain personalities. There's absolutely no way. So, you know what we need to do?
The Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. An important scientific breakthrough over the weekend. Time travel is now possible.
Disagree, but okay.
No, it's a fact.
Okay.
I
prove it.
I will prove it.
Prove it.
A Hawaiian Airlines flight was traveling from Auckland, New Zealand, and left at 12:05 a.m. on January 1st, 2018. And then headed to Honolulu. Word arrived at 10:16 on the 31st. It traveled back in time. Because there's already 2018 in New Zealand. And it was supposed to leave at 11:55, so it was not actually going to happen.
Okay.
But because of a 10-minute delay, it did not leave until 2018.
Okay.
So there it is. That's a fact.
Yeah, okay.
Time travel possible. So passengers celebrated New Year's Eve on the plane, then time traveled back when they landed in Hawaii at 10:16 a.m. and were able to celebrate again later that night. So...
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's a stretch, but I'll give it to you.
Well, it's not really. It's not okay. Really a stretch. You traveled from 2018 to 2017.
Okay. Well.
Okay, yeah. Is it a stretch, maybe?
It's a stretch.
But it certainly... Well, I mean, I didn't say that there was a Terminator or anything. Well, that you were going to go back and kill John Connor as a youth or Sarah Connor before he was born. I didn't say that. I just said that time travel officially was possible.
And that
is your
Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. So, you know, we haven't really done yet is kind of look at the actual matchups here that we have in the NFL playoffs this week. So, kind of curious about your thoughts. And we talked a little bit about the Bills, Jags. And if LeSean McCoy plays, I think the Bills not only have a chance to cover, I think they have a chance to win the game.
I do too.
And again, this is going to come down to if the Bills can get the lead on the Jaguars. I mean, that's what the Jaguars have been all year. If you can get them down and make Blake Bortles try to beat you, you have a good chance of winning the football game.
Yeah.
But if they're able to run the football and possess the ball, I don't think the Bills could beat them, especially if they don't have LeSean McCoy. That's a really, really good defense in Jacksonville. But, you know, we talked about quarterbacks in the NFC. This is not exactly your marquee quarterback matchup.
No.
So I could see either one of these guys throwing three or four picks and the game gets out of hand. And that is a path for Buffalo to win. If Bortles starts Bortling and they get them down, even if they don't have McCoy. But I think without McCoy, Jacksonville wins a football game. With him, I'll take Buffalo to cover.
I'm with you.
I'm intrigued by that game. The other AFC game, I just think Kansas City is too good for Tennessee.
I do too, but you know what? Kansas City's been a team who sometimes they don't show up. And they're fully capable of – I mean, why'd you get knocked out of the pool? Because Kansas City lost to the freaking New York Giants.
Well, that's the thing. They're a very high variance team.
Yes. That's why I don't feel I don't love the number, but I'm also scared that, I mean, because I think the Chiefs are so much better than the Titans, they could easily blow them out.
Yeah. I from a number perspective, I don't know. From an actual football, who's going to win the game? I think Kansas City wins.
I tend to agree.
I don't know that Tennessee has enough offense to compete with KC. And I think KC, and RJ and I talk about this on the show that will air tonight on SB Nation Radio, including 94.1, the pregame line. He in theory, believes Kansas City's playing better football now than it was at the beginning of the season when they got off to the great start.
That's you could argue that.
And if there were a measurable reason why they were so bad in the middle of the year, I'd be less concerned about this. But other than switching, you know, Andy Reid giving up play calling, I think that's – and they did just go in and win in Denver with a backup quarterback and backup players all over the place. So, yeah, I think Kansas City – gets out of that one, and I'll withhold judgment until I see if LeSean McCoy is playing, because if he is, I think I may pick the upset in the other game. And then in the NFC, Atlanta and the Rams, we talked about this a little bit. I certainly like Atlanta to cover the spread.
I do too.
And I don't know if they can go out there and beat the Rams. But again, Jared Goff, we're talking about a quarterback who's never done it before in this situation. I don't know what you're going to get. He could easily melt down. We see this all the time with young quarterbacks. Andrew Luck's done it in the playoffs. Matt Ryan did it early in his career in the playoffs. It's a different level of game. You have to raise your game. And that'll concern me next week with a guy like Case Keenum, too. But I think give me Atlanta to cover the spread. I still don't know who I'm going to pick here yet. I may go with Atlanta.
I might, too.
But I like the Falcons in this spot. And then Carolina, New Orleans. I think the Saints win this one.
I think the Saints win. The number is a different story, but I don't think the Saints have much of a hard time winning this game.
No, I don't either. Which I also like the over in that game, which is only like 48.5.
I've never heard you pick an under that happens in New Orleans.
No, and you know what?
you're usually right.
I'm usually right about them.
You're usually right.
But no, I do think if you think the Saints are going to cover, and it's another thing we talk about on the pregame line tonight, that's a pretty good correlation for the over.
Yeah. Well, and also if you think the Saints are going to cover, the time to get that number is now before it hits 7 or goes over 7.
Yes.
Which, by the way, same with the Rams. Now, I tend to lean on the other side of that, like you. I think the Falcons cover, so I'm more willing to wait for a 7.
Yeah.
And if it ends up being 6, okay, I'll take a 6. But yeah, if you like those favorites, if you like the Rams or the Saints, both at 6.5 right now, you may want to play it now before it gets to 7 or higher.
And if I'm the Saints...
That's friendly advice.
Yeah. If I'm the Saints, I'm really hoping that the Rams win so that I get the trip to Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely.
And if the Saints get a chance to go there, I think they have a chance to...
Yeah. Everybody's hoping that they get to go to Philly.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's cheering for the Rams.
So it's basically, if the Falcons are the determining factor, if the Falcons win, they go to Philly.
They go to Philly. If the Falcons lose, the winner of the other game goes to Philly.
It's that simple. All right. Squeeze in a call. Justin's been on hold for a while. What's up, Justin? Hello. No, held that long.
Justin? Case?
Held that long and wasn't there.
Oh, that's Don.
No, Don's on now.
Okay.
We just punted on Justin. What's up, Don? We'll try Don.
Hey, sports guys. Hey, look, I mean, is it just me or does it kind of look like the McNairs are giving the reins to O'Brien? I mean, they're giving him the football team at this point, right? For the next 2 years, it looks like.
That's exactly what's happened.
Well, I would say for the next year, even though you're going to give him an extension. Well, I don't know. If they extend him 3 years, then, yeah, you're probably giving him two. Whatever the extension is, subtract a year
Yeah, because they might fire him with 1 year left.
Yeah, if they give him a four-year contract, then they're doing it for 3 years. They give him a three-year contract, they're doing it for two. But... You know, that's kind of what they've done. And interesting strategy, Cotton. We'll have to see how it works out for them. All right, guys, got to tell you, you want to get in on some. How'd you like to win $3,000 tonight?
I could use $3,000.
Could you?
Yeah.
Well, you know where to go. Go over and play the tournament tonight at Lions,
at the Palace.
Lions Poker Palace, which you guys have heard us talk about. I am very excited. I'm going to get out there either by the end of this week or early next week for sure. But, $80 tournament with a $20 seat rental fee, and you can have unlimited rebuys for the first five levels of $80. You get $20,000 in starting stacks. Starts at 6:30, so head on out there now. But you know what? If you don't get there right on time, it's okay because you can buy until 7:45. $3,000 guaranteed to first place. And I got to tell you, man, the tournament setup here is fantastic. The actual setup of the poker room, it's nicer than almost any casino we go to in Vegas. And 10 tables, ATM available. So if you need money, if you're going to play cash, I mean, it's just a great, great setup. English only at the tables. There's just so much to love about Lions Poker Palace. If you haven't gone yet, you need to get your butt out there.
Yep, you need to check it out. They've got 10 tables. So there's always a game going. They've got a ton of TVs. So if you want to watch the basketball game, you're torn between going to play poker tonight or watching the basketball games, well, no problem. You can go do both at Lions Poker Palace. Follow them on Facebook at Lions Poker Palace for all the tournaments and events information. I recommend just stopping by, though. I mean, a Facebook page and a couple chuckos on the radio can only tell you so much. Go by, see for yourself, 6134 Richmond Avenue. Mention that you heard about us here on ESPN. You'll get the first 2 hours of play for free. That's Lions Poker Palace.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Friendly reminder, we will be at Gulf Greyhound Park on Thursday.
Yeah.
Down to Lamarck. And then I'll be doing an appearance out there on Saturday.
Those poor dogs. They're not going to want to run.
It's going to be cold. It's going to warm up by Thursday. It's supposed to be 51 with a low of 36. So
okay. It's a little bit warm. Yeah.
And Sam Houston opens on the 19th. For those of you who are curious, be out there for that. Be doing the show.
We'll be out there on opening day?
Yes. Be doing the show. And I'll be sticking around for an appearance afterwards from 7 to 9. So lots of fun coming up here. And hey, a couple of things of interest. Your former Aggie defensive coordinator, John Chavis.
Already former.
Off to Arkansas.
Yeah. Keep passing him around.
Yeah.
Keep passing him around, SEC teams that will never learn.
It was interesting. Apparently, the Aggies went after Dave Aranda, the LSU defensive coordinator, who's the highest paid guy in college football. And apparently that's not going to happen.
I feel like Aggie's trying to pick on
it works so,
on LSU.
It works so well with the Chavis hire.
Yeah, go back to that.
Yeah. But they also went after Notre Dame's defensive coordinator so far. No luck. So, but they're obviously going to spend money, so they'll get somebody worth a damn.
Should get Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great idea. Go get him, Aggie. So, be interesting. You're getting pretty late in the game to not have your DC in place.
Yep.
You know, I hope what Scott Frost did pays off a little bit more for teams down the road, where he stuck around and coached that team for the bowl game. Man, after that early signing day, what is there to do anyway as far as recruiting goes? You can still make recruiting phone calls and things like that. Somebody coaches like, oh, I need to commit to the next job. I just think it's a dickweed move. And so I was glad to see, not only was I glad to see them win because it helped my bottom line, I was glad to see them win because they actually stayed and wanted to finish. You know, and obviously, if you're a 6-6 team, who cares? But something like that where you're trying to have an unbeaten season, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will say, though, it doesn't, you know, for people say, oh, they should have been in the playoff. No, I still don't think that. I think if they play Auburn 10 times, Auburn's going to win 8 of them. I just think it's one of those situational deals where Auburn had a chance to be in the playoffs and didn't get in. This was UCF's Super Bowl.
Well, it's also, yeah, it's if this game happened in the regular season, do you think that Auburn loses that game? It's possible.
Yeah, just like it's possible Troy can beat LSU.
Right.
But how many times do I think they win that game?
It's much more likely to happen in a bowl game. That's the meaning of the game. We talk about motivation in bowl games all the time and who it's more important to. And now we're finally past the bowl games that matters.
Right.
But because now, you know, Georgia and Alabama have equal motivation. But in most bowl games, there's one team that's happy to be there and one team that's not happy to be there. Pretty obvious who was the happy team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you think, here's my other question, because a lot of people are saying, well, Central Florida, the two teams playing for the national championship both got housed by Auburn. Central Florida beat Auburn. They should have been in the playoff. Do you think that's true?
No.
Okay. Here's the other one. Do you think Ohio State would have done to Clemson what Alabama did yesterday?
No. And I have to say, and RJ and I, that's another thing we argued about, is he's like trying to talk about how, well, the Big Ten bowl results, and I think we're going to get into this with him Friday on the show because we didn't get a chance to finish it, but the Big Ten bowl results show that Ohio State should have been in. And it's like, no, bowl results are almost completely meaningless. They're so different from regular season college football, and just because the Big Ten won a bunch of bowl games, it doesn't mean that the Big Ten was better than everybody else, because if we're going to, and that should have gotten Ohio State in, because, you know, Ohio State had its chance when it played Oklahoma. It had its chance when it played Iowa, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Just don't get blown out by Iowa. But, oh, the Big Ten was better because of their bowl record. No. It doesn't. The bowl record doesn't mean anything.
No.
And it doesn't mean that the Pac-12 was a piece of garbage either, by the way, because the Pac-12 had a bad bowl season. But, you know, that's argument. That's a fan argument. And RJ was making a fan argument today. But I also didn't want to take up the whole, you know how sometimes when we start getting into it with him, it drags on.
Oh yes.
And it's like, I did kind of want
to. And we never get to the
we didn't get to, and the whole show's about previewing the NFL playoffs, so right. I finally had to cut it off. And of course, his whole point was that I didn't have an argument, and I was like, well, yeah, I got a pretty good argument, but yeah,
we'll save it for a different day.
Yeah, we got a whole show next week, so we'll do it again. D says UCF Auburn equals Utah Bama 08. Yeah, and I'll throw another one out there. When Oklahoma beat Bama, very similar. I mean, it's just the only difference was Oklahoma was, you know, so-called Power 5, which I hate that phrase. It's just a media made-up phrase. Yeah, there's five conferences that we know have all the bowl tie-ins, but, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's one of those phrases that everybody picks up on. It's like, oh, well, you're a Power 5 or you're a non-Power 5.
Right.
Well, go tell those UCF kids that they're not any good, that they're not as good as these other guys because they won that bowl game. Now, it doesn't mean they belong in the playoff. I want to make that patently clear, if I could.
Yeah. I've heard so much.
Should they have been closer than 12? Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But would they have any business being in this playoff after what we saw yesterday? None. And honestly, neither did Ohio State.
Yeah, Boise versus OU, same thing. Yeah, that's almost.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the exact same scenario, and that's okay. But I mean, it's big for those teams. Not that big a deal for, you know, Auburn's got guys who are thinking about the NFL draft. Yeah, you know, it's just, but that doesn't mean they're not a good football team. But
no, they are good.
And if there were an 18 playoff, then absolutely, yes, they should have been.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Not. But it's four. Oh, well. Who the heck is yelling in there?
I don't know. A bunch of loud people.
I think Michael's working on a commercial, and he just has his speaker turned up.
Oh.
Because I can hear Barry in the background. That's what it is.
Oh, Barry Warner or Barry Laminack? Oh, okay. Yeah, Barry can do a little yelling sometimes.
Yeah.
Both of them. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Okay, I don't want to stir things up here.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. Well, all this talk about NFL ratings and why they're down. Would you like to hear the top 15 television shows in terms of ratings for 2017?
Sure.
Number 15, NFL wild card playoff, Detroit versus Seattle.
Okay.
Number 14, week 15, New England, Pittsburgh.
All right.
Number 14, Donald Trump's Afghanistan speech.
Okay.
That was on multiple networks. Number 13, World Series Game 7.
Okay. It's an important game.
Number 12, NFC Divisional Playoff, Seattle-Atlanta on Fox.
Shocker.
Number 11, AFC Divisional Playoff, Houston-New England, CBS. Mm-hmm. So the Texans lost to the Patriots, outdrew Game 7 of the World Series.
That's crazy.
I know. Number 10, AFC Wildcard Playoff, Miami-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not even a good game.
Number 9, Trump's inauguration.
Okay.
Number 8, the Academy Awards.
All right.
Number 7, AFC Divisional Playoff, Pittsburgh-Kansas City.
Okay.
Number 6, NFC Wildcard Playoff, New York-Green Bay. Number 5, NFC Championship game, Green Bay, Atlanta.
Okay, so that's 15 through 5, right?
Yes, we're down to number 4, which is the only other non-NFL game on the list.
Okay.
Trump's congressional address.
All right. So
number 3, AFC Championship, Pittsburgh, New England. Number 2, Divisional Playoff, Green Bay, Dallas. Number 1, Super Bowl.
So there was one baseball game.
Yes.
One award show.
Yes.
3 Trump appearances. And 10 football games.
That is correct.
Yeah, you're right. NFL's dying. Everybody, you guys are right. Nobody watches that nonsense anymore.
Yeah. That's per
10 of the top 15. That's crazy.
Yeah, and 20 of the top 30 most watched shows were NFL games.
Wow.
Per Darren Revelle.
And I bet when you get down to those 20 of the 30, you're talking about a lot of regular season games.
Yeah, like 17 Thanksgiving Day game. Los Angeles, Dallas.
Yeah.
Week 2, Dallas, Denver at 19. Oakland, Houston playoff game 21.
Wow.
Minnesota, Detroit.
I barely wanted to watch
that.
Yeah,
I know. That was so bad, especially with no Derek Carr. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Be careful if you're driving home. I guess we're getting pretty close to having normal traffic back, so.
It was kind of nice.
I enjoyed last week because it wasn't too bad.
The problem was when it rains, it slows down everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it was a wash some of the time, but it was good.
Yeah. So squeeze Steve on real quick.
Howdy, Steve. Sports to you.
Hey, gentlemen, sports.
Sports again.
Yes, I just want to get your opinion about I'm really upset being a Raider fan and everything. I know they said Del Rio was a cheerleader and everything, but I thought the way the Marquis went about firing him was pretty classless. You know, we all think he looks like a bird in a tracksuit anyway, belong to the Raider Nation. Just want to get your opinion about why was Crabtree not in the game for more than 10 plays? I can't figure that out for the life of me. That just shows it's like basically institutional. He had no control of his team. And also, I think that Downing ought to be let go. Do you think Pagano could be the head coach, or do you think it's definitely Gruden?
I think it's definitely Gruden, or they probably would have kept Del Rio. As far as Crabtree, from everything I understand, they're releasing him anyway. There's been issues, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what's been going on. But what I've heard is that they don't plan to have him back next season. And they consider him to be a baggage guy. And if you remember, Michael Crabtree, week 16, had zero catches, two targets. I know because he was on my fantasy team.
Yeah, and but week 15, he went off, though.
He did.
Yeah.
But week 16 and 17, ghost.
So something must have happened.
Something happened. He pissed off somebody. And honestly, he probably was pissed off with the way he was used week 16. And that sort of made a power struggle. They didn't use him again week 17. So he's probably throwing a fit. This is all just me, you know, guessing what's going on because I'm not in that locker room. But yeah, I don't expect Michael Crabtree to be back next year.
Yeah. What is it about wide receivers, though? They're almost always more of a headache than anybody else. Where do you come down on Baker Mayfield's annex the other day?
I mean, it was no different than everything else he's done, but here's the deal. You can have all that swagger, and it looks really cool when you win the game, but if you lose that game, in hindsight, all that swagger looks like douchebaggery. And it's
the throat slashing thing on the missed field goal is douchebaggery to begin with. Whether you win or lose, that's
and I'm not here to I'm not the one to make excuses for Baker Mayfield, but I don't care about any of that stuff. I like the whole grabbing your ball sack and slashing. I don't care about that. I just care about how he played.
No, he played great, and
we played great in the first half.
Yeah, the second half not so much. But the reality is, as an NFL quarterback, I don't like that stuff. I never have. I don't like guys who, I want you to be enthusiastic. I want you to have fun, and he is having fun. But the throat slashing and the grabbing your junk and some of the off field stuff and some of the comments that concerns me from an NFL quarterback standpoint.
Yeah.
So if I think you brought this up a couple weeks ago. It feels very Johnny Manziel-ish.
Yeah.
And that rarely works out. I like my quarterbacks to be a little bit more mature than that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not talking about him as a next level quarterback. I'm talking about him as a college football quarterback. I think he's great. Same as John Football. Oh, yeah.
Johnny Manziel is one of my favorite college players ever.
But at the next level, it's a different conversation.
Yeah, I tend to agree. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Well, it's time to talk about that because his college career is over, sir.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's the next thing. I said I just messed up by not listing Trump as number one. That's Darren Revelle's list that I was doing, mine. And somebody asking, well, weren't all those about the before the protest? Not the New England game that was a regular season game. That's in your top 10. So, yeah. It's one of those narratives that I think is.
Yeah, and by the way, I guess we'll see next year. If that's the argument, I guess we'll see next year. Yeah. Because I'm promising you these playoff games, and we just talked about this first round of playoff games, it's a bad slate of games.
A bad slate last year when you had Texans Raiders and look where it landed.
Yeah. You're the New York Giants. I mean,
No, I guarantee you, you've got two very intriguing matchups on the NFC side. Both those are interesting matchups.
Yeah.
And
but those AFC games will be on the list.
Yeah, the AFC game, probably. I don't know about Buffalo, Jacksonville, but I think there's a lot of interest in the Bills in general because they haven't made it since 99. And that's a little bit of a tease to my Hey Man Bleep That. But
is it going to be about the Music City Miracle?
No, it's not going to be
Hey Man Bleep That.
No, it's not going to be that at all. It's going to be a positive Hey Man Bleep That.
All right.
But I do think that the Chiefs Titans, those aren't the sexiest markets.
No.
But you're talking about teams, you got three, well, Jacksonville hadn't been there in a while. Buffalo hadn't been there in a long while. Tennessee's been bad for a while. So maybe the people will be interested.
What you're talking
things.
About, though, is with the exception of Jacksonville, I don't know, Kansas City's the closest thing to a national brand team of that group.
Yeah.
But Buffalo, Tennessee, and Kansas City, what they do have is a hardcore local following.
I think the Bills have kind of I think their following is a lot more than people realize because that whole Bills Mafia thing has gotten all these little fan bases going for them. So, but I can pretty
the
much.
The Bills are a cool underdog story.
Yes, yes.
Is what they are. And people cheer for the underdog. But
they're more likable than the Cubs. How's that?
I'll give you that. I don't see the dream ending happen or the dream ending coming through for the Bills the way it did for the Cubs, though.
No, no. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And I don't know if we have time to dive into this, but maybe you have to save it for tomorrow. What do we got, about 4 minutes here before we go to break? Some of the most anticipated movies for next year.
I want to know about it.
Yeah, I do too. So here's your top 10 most anticipated movies. Number 10 is Ocean's 8.
Don't care about it.
Yeah, did we kill?
It's the all-girl cast.
Oh. Yeah, that's not anticipated.
Yeah, I'm sexist. I don't care about that.
Number 9, X-Men Dark Phoenix. Coming out November the 2nd. Yeah, I'm kind of out on the X-Men movies. And I don't really think any of them do much for me. Number 8, A Wrinkle in Time. It's coming out on March 9th. I don't know what that one's about.
It's a kind of a children's book, like fifth grade reading level. Yeah,
I don't care about that.
I saw the trailer for it. It looks like garbage.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I don't like Wrinkles in Time.
Yeah,
Oprah's in it.
Okay, a definite no watch. Okay, that should not even be in the top 50. Here's another one that I don't really have any interest in. Number 7, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Nope, don't care about that.
Who's Grindelwald? Do you know anything about
that? That's Harry Potter. That's the
Harry
Potter prequel, sequel to the prequel.
As much as I love Harry Potter, I have no interest in that. Number 6, Incredibles 2.
No interest in that, but my kids will.
Yeah, I think my kids have grown up enough that
they'll like that Harry Potter movie too.
Number 5, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Don't
on
care
May 25th.
About it. I'm done caring about Star Wars movies.
I'm out on that too. Number 4, I am looking forward to this one. June the 1st, Deadpool 2.
I'll watch that.
Yeah, I'll see that one as soon as it comes out. This one I don't know about because I didn't really like the other one, although other people did. Number 3, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Don't care about that.
The thing is, at this point, why are you still opening these damn dinosaur parks?
Get away from the dinosaurs.
But the people are going to eat you.
In this one, they're going back to save dinosaurs from a volcanic island.
No, I would never do that.
Pass. Which is dumb. Just let them
those
die.
Those dinosaurs have all tried to kill you.
Yeah. You're going to save them, and they're going to eat you anyway.
Exactly.
Because that's what they do. They're dinosaurs.
And what are you going to do? Bring them here to America?
Yeah, then you got...
Ooh. You got that problem.
You're setting up for another Jurassic
crikey.
America.
No, take them to Oklahoma. Jurassic
or
Oklahoma.
Australia.
Jurassic Park is ripping off the Planet of the Apes idea.
Yeah. Number 2, Black Panther.
I'll watch that.
Yeah,
I did hear the first cut of Black Panther.
Yeah. 4 hours
Four
long.
Hours?
Oh, my God.
No way. I won't watch it. I'll protest. I will not sit in a movie for 4 hours. Yeah. A superhero movie?
They'd
Are
have
you crazy?
To do the, what they did with The Hateful Eight. They'd have to give you an intermission.
Give you an intermission, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll watch a war movie or,
a Tarantino movie.
How long was Private Ryan? That was almost...
It was about 4 hours.
Was it that long?
But even that, under protest, I'll watch that 4 hours.
Only if I can pause. I won't go see it in the movie theater. I need a pause.
They did give you an intermission at Hateful Eight, but Hateful Eight wasn't even that long. They just
it was because they wanted it to be
the way
like
they
the
wanted to present it.
Yeah.
If Hateful Eight was 4 hours, I probably would have been pissed off. That one it's one setting for the entire movie.
Yeah, so a lot of the movie studios have gone back to telling people they want things to be under 2 hours.
Yeah,
which I think,
I like that.
Yeah, I think most people do. I mean, and you got this trend going where people are doing 3.5-4 hour long movies, and some of them are successful. But I mean, it needs to be damn good. The problem is, it's just gotten where so many directors are just masturbating. Frankly, is what they're doing to make them that long. Number one, Avengers: Infinity War, May 4th.
Okay,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Jeff says, what would the ratings be for a Vikings-Jags Super Bowl? It'd be the number one watch show in the country because it's still the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It would be number one on this list next year, for sure.
And the reality would be either Case Keenum or Blake Bortles was about to be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. People would want to watch and see who.
And you'd get all those casual fans who are picking up on that storyline of Minnesota playing a home Super Bowl. I think that would bring in a lot of people.
People are going to watch it anyway. They have Super Bowl parties. They have Super Bowl squares. It's a national holiday, man. It really doesn't matter. I think the only thing that moves it is if you get a Cowboys or Patriots or the
Packers,
Steelers, teams that people know outside of that, then you might get a few more casual fans.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle again. Shopping for electricity rates, it can be a painful experience. Tri-Eagle knows that, and they are trying to make it easier for you. They are a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how little or how much electricity you use. And the grand goal for Tri-Eagle is to get you to use more or use less energy. They want your home to be more energy efficient. They've got no hidden fees. They've got an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks and no surprises on your bills. You'll even receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. Locks you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision. You can feel good about it. Call them, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Celebrate the Astros World Series Championship forever with the audiobook History Earned, a retelling of the Astros' magical journey to the 2017 World Series title. Incredibly affordable at just $13.99. And narrated by SportsMap 94.1's own Charlie Polillo, written by Chris Campisi. Perfect for any Astros fan. Easily downloadable to any laptop or smart device. If you didn't get the gift you wanted this holiday season, get it for yourself. Just go to historyearned.com, download your copy today. And at some point, that thing will go in the archives. So if you've been thinking about buying it and you're waiting, don't wait any longer.
Yeah, quit waiting.
In response to the texter who called us dumb AF for movie links, which I didn't mention, so he's talking to you. 3 hours, 7 minutes for Hateful Eight, which is about what you said.
Yeah.
That's still long.
It's long.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that, you said it wasn't nearly as long, but
it's not 4 hours.
But Saving Private Ryan was only 2 hours and 50 cents, or 2 hours and 50 minutes. But
okay.
To be fair, that thing felt like it was eight hours.
Right,
it dragged.
Well, it didn't drag. It's just so emotionally heavy.
Yeah,
it's hard to be in the beginning and the end.
The rest of it, it dragged. I'll be honest with you. I liked the movie. I thought the beginning scene when arms are getting blown off and all that was graphic and moving. And then I thought, especially at the end when he asks, when he tells him to earn it and everything, that was very moving. The rest of it, I thought, was just it could have been 2 hours, but.
You know, yeah. How long was Titanic?
I don't know.
I remember watching that in theaters, and they had a intermission, and which, boy, really breaks it up if you're trying to get laid.
3 hours, 15 minutes.
Of all the movies that you don't want to end up getting taken to, like my mom took me to go see that movie, and so were watching, and of course,
so you weren't trying to get laid. When
no,
you went to
I
them.
Wasn't.
I
and
was
probably like 12 or 13.
Okay, yeah, I was 17. I was definitely. I went with two chicks to tie two different chicks. I went and sat through Titanic for.
Did it work out?
I was one for two, and you know what? You take a coin flip.
50% every day.
That ain't bad.
Well, there were. That reminds me of the police were in town back to back nights, and I had tickets for both, and I did the same thing. I took two different girls trying to get action both times.
Yeah,
and I wasn't a real fan of the police, but I went anyway. I think I was one for two.
You went to the Nickelback concert.
No, that was. I don't even think those guys were born yet, man. This was when I was, 18, 19, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Barry Warner was still young. All right, let's do Hey Man Bleep That.
You have my audio up?
I do.
All right.
I'll get mine out of the way fast so you have room. Now that your Buffalo Bills are in the playoffs, do you know the team in the major four sports with the longest drought of not making the postseason?
I don't know.
It'll surprise you. It'll surprise you. 2001, Seattle Mariners.
Oh, wow.
And that was a team that won
like
all those games.
Greatest team, greatest regular season team ever, right?
So I'm just so happy that we don't have to talk about Houston anymore on these lists, thanks to the Astros winning.
Yeah.
That's a longest drought without a championship, longest drought without playoff. Don't have to worry about any of that. So to all you other cities.
We're in the clear for a while.
Yeah, we can say, hey, man, f*** that. All right, all you.
This clip was from Jeopardy. And
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Yeah, this guy, he had a chance to win some good dough, had a good chance to win Jeopardy. And they had a double Jeopardy clue to win $1,600. Contestants were given a song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic. The category was music and literature before and afters. A popular theme on the quiz show where contestants must combine well-known entities to create a new phrase. So, basically, it's Paradise Lost mixed with Gangsta's Paradise.
Okay.
Here's what our man said.
Now, yeah. A song by Coolio from Dangerous Minds goes back in time to become a 1667 John Milton classic. Nick.
What is Gangsta's Paradise Lost?
Yes.
All right.
Our judges have reevaluated one of your responses a few moments ago, Nick. You said gangsters instead of gangstas on that song by Coolio. So we take 3,200 away from you.
Wow.
So you are now in second place. Lisa, you have the lead.
Oh, no. $3,200 for you use the ER instead of the A? I will, but that's what white people think they can get away with. They think you can say the ER when really the A is barely acceptable. But yeah, Gangsta's Paradise. $3,200. To that I say, hey man, that. And if you could see, Nick is like the nerdiest white dude ever.
He couldn't say gangsta if you paid him,
I bet. The fact that he came up with Gangsta's Paradise is like, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't have got that.
Well played.
I would have got Paradise Lost real easily, but
yeah, him knowing who Coolio was, I was like, how?
I think in that article it said he went on to win the episode regardless of...
He did.
Good for him.
Yep.
That mess up.
Now, if it had been Weird Al Yankovic and Milton, I would have gotten that one right.
It says Gangsta and Gangster are both listed separately in the Oxford English Dictionary, each with its own unique definition. So because his response changed not only the title, but also its meaning, it was rendered unacceptable. Poor Nick. $3,200. That's a costly slip of the letter.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Good to be back. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow. Tyler will be here again, apparently. Not bad today, Tyler. I don't even remember you screwing up today. I think I'm going to give you an A. Don't tell anybody.
Well done, sir.
Hoffman always gets an A+. I'm bad for the first show back. Give myself a C-. Be back tomorrow for a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Stay careful out there on the roads, especially if it gets icy. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.